The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
We're the Steelers nowadays in people's minds in terms of the power rankings. Power rankings. Steelers were undefeated in Week 13. They'd only played 10 games, but still, it was Week 13.
I got to give you credit, Max. You were the only one who, with the power rankings, didn't have them at number one just because they were undefeated. You know, everyone just put them just because they were undefeated had them. You never gave in.
I had the Chiefs number one all season, even when they didn't look great early. But but look, there's so much to get into right now. I said I was going to take calls to 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. James Harden didn't report to training camp yesterday because of the NBA's COVID-19 protocols. Harden posted pictures, however, on Instagram over the weekend celebrating Lil Baby's birthday party without a face mask. You see what Harden's doing. Harden's turning himself into a distressed asset for the Houston Rockets. That diminishes his trade value, making it easier to deal him, in fact, to where he wants to go. See, when the rest of the league knows, oh, he wants to go to Brooklyn, they're not going to come with their best offer. And they know, everyone knows, the Rockets aren't going to be able to keep him. You can't keep a disgruntled superstar. It doesn't work. Here's Steven Silas, the Rockets' new head coach, on Harden's absence.
As far as timetable, there is no timetable as far as I know. And it is a setback. You know, you want your best player to be here. There is a short window, as you've alluded to. As I said yesterday, we're working as if this is the 6th to the 23rd. So there is some time, but it is a setback. Yeah, I have to be honest and understand that this is a setback, not having one of the best players in the NBA here.
Say that again. The Rockets, look, the Rockets set back from what? Are they a playoff team this year? If the Harden's on the team, I guess, kind of barely. The Rockets have never been an overly talented team. They did it playing the most efficient basketball possible with a superstar on the team. That's why Harden was able to turn that team into a powerhouse. He's a superstar, and they played the most efficient, aesthetically not the most pleasing, but the most efficient offense. Only the highest percentage shots or the shots with the greatest reward. It's the only shots they would take. They ain't doing anything like that anymore. They're toast, and Harden's got to get out of there. He's got to leave, and that's what's going on right now. He's making it harder. You'd say, well, it's making it harder for Houston to trade him. Yeah, he's making it harder for them to trade him, which depresses his value, which makes it easier for them to trade him to the place he wants to go. Well, why would they do that? You know, why would they accommodate him if he's hurting them? Because what team is going to trade a whole bunch of stuff for James Harden knowing he doesn't want to be there? No. The NBA is a superstar league. The superstars call the shots, period. And LeBron James has shown that. Not that Harden's LeBron, but he is a superstar. Dom in Washington, D.C., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Well, Dom in Washington, D.C. is not there. I wanted to talk to someone from Washington, D.C. because the D.C. football team, the Washington franchise, I've been telling you, has been coming on in recent weeks and was a trap game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought maybe the Steelers would avoid the trap because they just played the Ravens and won but looked terrible, and Coach Tomlin called them out after the game. And I thought, okay, they're not going to be able to rest on their laurels. They're going to have to take, but, you know, look, 4 days rest, 13 days, three games. You know, they had a 14-point lead. They're practically undefeated in like 112 games with a two-touchdown lead in the Roethlisberger era. They were very likely to win the game, but they didn't. They couldn't maintain for the entire, you know, like they faded late and Alex Smith made a play and they lost. And Pittsburgh is a very good team. They need to run block better, but they're a very good team. The Buffalo Bills? Buffalo, Josh Allen. We're going to get to that in a second. Bobby Marks joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line right now. Bobby, are you there?
I am. Hey, Max. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? I have you on because I want to know. James Harden has now said, okay, fine, maybe I don't just have to be traded to the Brooklyn Nets. So everyone's thinking Philadelphia immediately. Who do you think has the best chance to trade for him based on their assets, their contracts, and what's attractive to the Houston Rockets?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're checking the three boxes that Houston is looking for, a, I guess, cornerstone young building block, Ben Simmons, a young player on a controllable rookie contract, Matisse Thybulle, and draft picks, which the Sixers have, you know, for the next couple of years, they check the boxes right now. Now, I guess, it's the willingness. Is Philadelphia willing to do something with James Harden, or, you know, because it would have to be certainly Ben Simmons here. I don't know if I'm quite there yet. If I'm the Sixers, I think I want to let's play this out a little bit from their perspective. You know, you've seen the rave reviews coming out of that Sixers camp about Ben Simmons. I don't know if that's just done on purpose that Harden is now involved in trade talks here. But yeah, I mean, I think the Sixers would probably be the leaders in the clubhouse just based on what they have to offer. I think it's an interesting team, Max, and I have it up there today. You know, some teams, trade partners would be Boston. Yeah, certainly.
What does Boston have to offer that could land Harden?
I think that I don't know if Jaylen Brown is enough. I don't think just by himself is certainly not enough. You know, he's under contract for the next 4 years. I think he's probably a borderline all-star. I don't think he's a franchise cornerstone there, but you've got Jaylen Brown. You've got basically five or six players that are on, you know, rookie contracts. You've got all your draft picks here. I would probably put them a little bit of ahead of the line compared to maybe where Brooklyn is right now with, you know, certainly know about Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, draft picks there. But I think, you know, Philadelphia, I think Boston, you know, certainly Brooklyn probably in a distant third. But it's hard. You know, these superstars, you know, that when you're never going to get the same amount, at least right now, as far as what you're giving up.
Bobby, thank you very much. That's what I need to know. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. That's Bobby Marks, ladies and gentlemen, at BobbyMarks42 on Twitter. Now, I disagree with the analysis about Boston. I don't think Boston has anything that where they could even sniff a James Harden trade. I like Jaylen Brown. He's a very nice player. But you can't have a borderline all-star as a centerpiece for a trade to James Harden. I've always thought that a three-team deal, or maybe more than even a three-team deal, could maybe work. The question is Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie enough to get enough stuff to be attractive to Philadelphia to pry Ben Simmons away and then make the deal for Ben Simmons at James Harden? In other words, does Daryl Morey believe that maybe he likes LeVert, for example, and he thinks, okay, Embiid with LeVert and or likes Dinwiddie and the other one can be flipped into other stuff he likes? But I think that's unlikely too. I think the most likely scenario is Ben Simmons for James Harden, or Ben Simmons and a few things for James Harden, because that's the only way Houston maintains possession of a difference-making kind of ball player. There aren't that many guys like that around. Ben Simmons is one of them. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Josh Allen put on a show last night. Is he a top-tier quarterback? See, when you say top tier, let me put it a different way. Is Ben Roethlisberger an elite quarterback? Is he elite? Raj, you think Ben Roethlisberger's elite? He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's having a nice season. Yeah. Is he an elite quarterback?
He's never had one MVP vote, so I'm going to say no.
Well, I would say, I disagree. I think Ben Roethlisberger has been an elite quarterback. He's spent most of his career as a top five quarterback in the league. That's elite to me. I don't think it's a random number. Like, are you top five? If you're six, no good. But usually there's a cutoff. And generally throughout Roethlisberger's career, early on it was Brady and Peyton Manning and Rodgers and Breeze, right? And Roethlisberger was not in that category, but he probably led the pack but underneath him, or maybe he was the fifth guy in that category. And then, you know, certain guys got older, Peyton left, and then Roethlisberger was like, oh, he's the top four quarterback, something like that. Who'd you rather have, Breeze or Roethlisberger in a great season for Roethlisberger, right? And usually the answer is Breeze. But he was there, and he's pretty good this year. But is he elite? You think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the AFC? I don't. Is Lamar Jackson an elite quarterback? He won the MVP last year, right? You'd think that would make him elite, but he hasn't been good in the playoffs. Lost two playoff games, and right now doesn't look like much. Has the league adjusted to him? Is he suffering from COVID? I don't know, but would you call Lamar Jackson an elite quarterback right now? I would not. So who's elite? Who are the elite quarterbacks? Is Matt Ryan an elite quarterback? No. People pretend that he was for a little while. He never really was. Not really. He was a very good quarterback. He's a B-plus quarterback. Matt Stafford never really been elite. But look at the numbers he put on. If you put him on another team, no, not really. Josh Allen's 24 years old. Like, the whole question with these young mobile quarterbacks, the big arm quarterbacks, is will they be accurate down the field? You're mobile, you got a big arm, but can you throw it down the field accurately? Can you read defenses, get rid of the ball quickly? Make the right reads, trust what you see, get rid of the ball accurately. As a rookie, Josh Allen at 22 had about a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. For every touchdown he threw an interception, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. About 1-to-1. He completed around 50% of his passes, and his team was no good. Now, the second year is where quarterbacks really develop, as it turns out, and you want them to be great on their rookie deal because you have more money to spend at other positions, right? That's your Super Bowl window, a lot of people think. Well, in his second season, did you see improvement? Oh, yeah. He went from a 50% completion guy to a 60% completion guy. That's nice. He went from a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio guy to a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio guy. Good. That's good. That's real improvement. And importantly, his team was 10-6. He quarterbacked a winning team. And now his third year, he's 24. Has he improved? Oh, yeah. He went from a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio guy last year to a 3-to-1 this year. A 60% last year to a 70% this year. So every year of his career, the ratio touchdowns to interception improves by 1-to-1, 2-to-1, 3-to-1. The completion percentage improves by 10%, 50%, 60%, 70%. And now he's a top 5 QBR guy in the entire NFL among active quarterbacks. Dak hasn't been active for most of the season. So a lot of, and by the way, his team has a better one-loss percentage than last season. They're heading for the playoffs, and they look like they can do some damage in the playoffs. He's 24 years old. All of 2019, it's up on ESPN+. Plus. You can see it, 3,100 yards, give or take. I round, you know, 3,089, it's 3,100. 59%, I call it 60%, right? 60% completion. 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, passer rating of 85, 3,100 yards. This year already, and the season's not over, 70% completion, 3,400 yards already, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, better than 3-to-1, and a passer rating of 106. It's 105.9, 106. So the question is at 24, is he likely to get better? Is he having the kind of progress that's sustainable? Yeah. He's not just doing this on a scheme in a system that where they scheme up a way for him to like run or something like that, right? Because there was legitimate questions about Lamar Jackson. The passing's getting better, but they're heavily reliant on him running. Or Mitch Trubisky, same thing. Boy, he's fast, but he's not really accurate down the field. Josh Allen's accurate down the field. Really accurate down the field. How many 20-plus yard passes did he have last night? 375 yards, 4 touchdowns? Given his age, given the trajectory of his career, given the team he's on, he's likely to sustain this. So has he proven it yet? And can he drop? Can he be elite and then kind of drop out of that? Yeah. But you're asking me right now, is Josh Allen an elite quarterback? The answer is yes. I think he's the third best quarterback in the conference. Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen in that order. And had it not been for the last month of Deshaun Watson, I'd have Josh Allen second, but Deshaun Watson has also been great the last month and has consistently quarterbacked winning teams, and the teams weren't that good. You know, Deshaun Watson made them good. Yeah, Josh Allen's an elite QB, and by the way, that makes the Bills live in the playoffs. Not just last year, like good defense, Josh Allen is trending the right way. No. Now you got that defense and you have a quarterback who can really do damage. I said before the season, why is everyone so high on the Bills? Anything Josh Allen could do, Cam Newton could do better. Wrong. No, he can't. Josh Allen's way better than Cam Newton right now. He's better than, I think, everyone except for Mahomes and Watson in the AFC. And in the NFC, even, how many guys you have? Aaron Rodgers. Who else? Russell Wilson. How many? Drew Brees still at his age? Let's see how he looks after the ribs. Is Josh Allen a top five quarterback right now? Maybe. And that makes the Bills, look, when you talk about AFC teams with a chance to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, I like the Chiefs against the entire field. To me, it feels like the Chiefs play cat and mouse with teams, right? Like the idea that, you know, they've beaten certain teams. Was it the Panthers by 2 points, by under a field goal? They beat the Bucs. It turned out to be by a field goal. They had to come back on the Chargers and beat them by like a field goal earlier in the season. And earlier in the season, they were down early. They had to make comebacks. And later in the season against the Bucs, they have a big lead early and they let the Bucs back into the game. It feels like they're toying with teams to me, the Chiefs. It feels like they're bored, but, you know, like they just, even last year in the playoffs, down double digits in three consecutive playoff games, keep coming back. They got it like that. But if you had to pick an AFC team right now to beat the Chiefs, who would you pick? Because I take the Bills. I think they got the best shot. And a lot of it has to do with their quarterback, who not maybe coincidentally can match up with Mahomes in terms of the kind of size of his arm, the kind of strength, arm strength. Like he could throw that ball down the field. The Titans? You believe in the Titans? Against the Chiefs? Seen that movie before. The Browns, they look great against the Titans. The Browns can run the ball, that's true. I like the Bills against the Browns all day. I think Josh Allen's clearly a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. I like the Dolphins a lot. I like Miami a lot. I like the way the defense gets after it. But the Colts, to me, are like the Titans, and you heard from Warren Sharp, Sharp Analytics, or no, that was Casey Joyner, talking about the football scientist. Last week, on this show, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, talk about how teams from weaker divisions tend to not do well in the playoffs. Titans, Colts. I like the Bills a whole lot. Especially when you see the Steelers and the way they run block. 14 carries, 21 yards. Now, I don't want to overreact to the Steelers losing to Washington, because I thought that was going to be a very tough game. 4 days rest, 3 games in 13 days. That is brutal. And so maybe predictably they faded late, right? Physically, it's a game of attrition, and they faded late. So I don't want to read too much into it, but there are certain causes for concern. Pittsburgh barely beat Dallas. They barely beat a Ravens team without their quarterback. And the Dallas game came before these 3 games in 13 days schedule. But look, every team in the NFL struggles against Dallas right around that time beat the Vikings, who had just cleaned out the NFC North. Beat the Packers, the Bears, and the Lions, right? And Vikings flying high, and, you know, Dallas beat them. So it can happen. I don't want to overreact to what I saw with the Steelers. But the fact of the matter is, who do I think has the best chance at this moment? The team with the best quarterback. Josh Allen's better than Ben Roethlisberger. Right now, he's better. And given that one guy's 38 and one guy's 24, that one guy is on the other side of his prime and the other guy's still ascending, who's likely to be better going forward? It's Josh Allen. LeBron finally responded to Kyrie. Hear what he had to say. Plus, Paul Finebaum. Who the hell is that, Rog? It's Paul Finebaum. Had some thoughts on Michigan OSU being canceled.
Max, the podcast.
Take a listen to what LeBron James had to say about Kyrie Irving's comments on clutchness, on LeBron's clutchness from a while back. LeBron finally actually read the transcript and now is reacting to what Kyrie said. Listen to LeBron.
So when I heard the comment that Kyrie made, I wanted to... One, not only find the whole transcript, but also call my people.
Yeah.
Send me the whole transcript. And I heard he had did it on Katie's podcast. And I was a little like, damn.
Yeah.
Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping. I hit game-winning shots. My whole life. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because You were there for a couple seasons. I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons. The whole time while I was there, I only wanted to see him be an MVP of our league. I only cared about his success. And it just didn't align. Yeah. It just didn't align. And we was able to win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship, and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor. And it kind of hurt me a little bit.
Not only win a championship, but they won a championship against the 73-win Warriors. And Kyrie was instrumental. It was the only really successful season of his career, right? He got all the way, won the whole thing. Kyrie was the second-best player on the team behind LeBron and ahead of Kevin Love. That was the Road Trippin' podcast, by the way, that you just heard. The sound from LeBron on. You know, Kyrie has to ask himself, Kyrie, why every team that you've ever been on, with the exception of the team you were on with LeBron James, why have they been better off without you? Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Kyrie's got the greatest handles of all time. He's one of the all-time great shooters, even, considering that's not the first thing you think about with Kyrie, right? Like, he can bomb from outside. He is the best I've ever seen finishing in the paint under the rim. He is a great passer. Like, what doesn't he do on the basketball court? So he has all the skills. Like, and there are other guys who are super skilled, but whose talent is as pitched as high as Kyrie, who also has developed those kind of skills? Skills and talent used interchangeably incorrectly sometimes. Talent is your natural aptitude to do something. Skills are the refined technique that you have. He has both. Good as it can get. Why are teams getting better? Why are the Celtics better without you? Why are the Nets better without you? It's nuts. It's crazy. Now you take LeBron James, a guy who's been under more scrutiny with more pressure than anyone ever, basically, right? Since he's a high school kid, you're going to be the greatest player ever. Everyone telling him how great he is all the time. And yet he's surprisingly down to earth considering that. I'm sure Kyrie has legitimate gripes with LeBron, the way he was treated or whatever. I'm sure LeBron could be self-centered and everything. As I said, if everyone tells you you're the greatest thing ever since you're a kid, you're going to believe it. And by the way, he is. LeBron's like, you know, amazing. He's the best I've seen except for Jordan. And he's, you know, speaking truth to power and standing up for social issues. And LeBron James is a guy also who brought people he knew from his childhood, basically, into adulthood and into success, not by giving them handouts, but by offering opportunities. And those who took advantage of them are with LeBron to this day. And people he met along the way, like Rich Paul, for example, right? Why is Kyrie Irving the dude with beef with LeBron? What's going on with this dude? LeBron had two other superstars with him, two other second-best players on his team with him, and he won two other championships in two other cities other than Cleveland. One was Miami with Dwayne Wade. LeBron and Dwayne Wade have been best friends for decades now. The other is Los Angeles with Anthony Davis. AD and LeBron seem to be having a great time together, only seem to support each other. What's up with Kyrie? What is up with Kyrie? Why is there a problem with him? At a certain point, you got to look and say, okay, it's me. It's not everyone else. Here's Kyrie. Sometimes I could be the head coach. Sometimes, no, Kyrie. No, you're not the head coach. It's a stupid thing to say. You can't be. And here's the thing. I keep hearing everyone tell me how smart Kyrie is. Stephen A. tells me how articulate he is. I find him inarticulate. He may be smart, but he doesn't show it. And someone who thinks the earth is flat, it's highly likely they're not smart. He seems insecure about his intelligence. Kyrie always wants to tell you how smart he is. But doesn't show it. Listen to the statement he released. Instead of speaking to the media today, I'm issuing this statement to ensure that my message is conveyed properly. So he doesn't speak to the media. He just releases a statement. No, Kyrie, it's not the way it works. I know you'd like to just release a statement because then you can set the agenda and the narrative. Control the narrative is the big buzzword, but no, the media has questions for you. You got to answer those questions. They're a conduit to the fans. One of the reasons you get paid. And so you don't get to just control the narrative the way you'd like. I'm committed to show up to work every day, ready to have fun, compete, perform, and win championships alongside my teammates and colleagues in the Nets organization. My goal this season is to let my work on and off the court speak for itself. Life hit differently this year, and it requires me to move differently. So this is the beginning of that change. The hell does that mean? If he's articulate, he doesn't show it in his writing. But apparently, he's too scared to actually make... So let me get this straight. You want to make sure that you're properly understood, right? He said, I am issuing the statement to ensure that my message is conveyed properly. Are you afraid you can't convey your message properly, extemporaneously? Off the cuff? You can't respond to questions where you don't get to say to talk about exactly the things you want to talk about, but you have to discuss topics other people are also interested in concerning you and your team? You don't think you can do that well? I don't blame you. You don't seem to be able to do it well. But you also don't seem to be able to be very clear in your writing either. And or is it you're saying that I have to convey this properly without a medium? The medium distorts the message because people like Stephen A. Smith or Max Kellerman or whoever are going to distort the message. Kyrie, if we had malice, which we don't toward you or really anyone, I mean, you know, who we're covering, we would like you to be communicative. I'd like you not to say things like the earth is flat. I think that's destructive and it's a stupid thing to say. But no, but like, I love watching you play. I'm not rooting for you to put your foot in your mouth. I'm rooting for you to be articulate. But you can use ellipses and take things out. For example, when I read this, I didn't start with your first paragraph. COVID-19 has impacted us all in many ways, so I pray for the safety and health of our communities domestically and abroad. I'm truly excited for the season to start. I'm also praying that everyone remains safe and healthy throughout this journey. I didn't read that in the beginning, right? To make a point. Your message can still be distorted and taken out of context if you release a statement, so it's not about that. It's disingenuous in addition to everything else. Your point is not that this way people can't distort my message because it will still be seen through the prism of the media, through a medium, through the opinions of me and others, right? It will still be digested that way and pre-digested before it's digested by the public. So this doesn't actually do the thing you think it does. Kyrie is very intent on telling you how smart he is, and other people have told me how articulate. I find that neither is the case. It's not impossible that it is the case, that is the truth, but he does not demonstrate it. And the reason is always ego protection. Why does he have a problem with LeBron? It's an ego problem. Why does he say sometimes he's the head coach because Steve Nash is not the boss of me? It's an ego problem. Why does he say, KD, it's the first time that I'm okay with another dude taking the last shot? It's ego protection. Of course, KD can shoot like Kyrie, but he's 7 feet tall. And KD helped you with the juice here with Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn wasn't interested in Kyrie unless he came with KD. So you got to defer to KD a little bit there. But you still take a shot at LeBron. And here, life hit differently this year, and it requires me to move differently. So this is the beginning of that change? So wait, you put this out for clarity, but then you make an ambiguous, strange comment open to interpretation? Kyrie, you are a special player. You ain't that special. There are other dudes in the league better than you. The league is not about you. This segment is about you because you give the media fodder. Dude, put your head down. By the way, speak out against social injustice. That's cool. I disagree with Stephen A. when he's like, you know, Kyrie said the season shouldn't be played and everything. I like the fact that you spoke out. Not just critical of anything you do. I'm critical of the stupid things you do. Like this statement. Michigan versus Ohio State was canceled. You're going to hear from Paul Feinbaum on Last Take coming up.
Max, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Here's Paul Feinbaum on whether or not they're going to give Ohio State another game after the Michigan game was canceled.
I think they will. If they don't, they're really cutting their own throat. Remember, this is a league that on August 11th shut down, then they came back and really left themselves no wiggle room. It's important to remember on December 19th, when the Big Ten championship game is going to be held, the rest of the league is going to be playing that day. So all they need to do is rearrange some things. It's not the biggest deal in the world.
Yeah, it is weird that a big rivalry game is just gone, but this is COVID. I mean, by the way, want to hear something crazy? Pfizer, the drug manufacturer, who's one of the two approved to manufacture the vaccines in this country, the COVID vaccine, you need two COVID shots to be inoculated, right? So 100 million doses gets 50 million shots. The population of this country is 330 million. You need 70 to 75% inoculated in order for things to get back to normal. Okay, so that's about a quarter billion doses, right? 250 million doses. Pfizer is delivering 100 million to the United States, offered the U.S. government, the Trump administration, an additional 100 million vaccinations, and they were turned down. So 200 million shots would have been 100 million people vaccinated. Out of the 250 necessary, we're 40% of the way to getting back to normal right away. But the government turned them down. Dr. Pepper, call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Frank in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, how you doing, man? Hey, I was just wondering, do you think the Giants and the Washington football team, are they any good? Or is it like just Eagles and Cowboys, how bad they are?
No, I actually think the Giants and Washington are trending in the right direction. They are pretty good. Look, they have sub-500 records, but the team you are at the end of the year is not the same team as in the beginning. It's a full-contact sport with different players developing and chemistry developing. I think a win over the Giants or the Washington franchise is a quality win, and they're capable of upsetting winning teams, as you've seen recently. Giants beating Seattle, Washington beating a tired Pittsburgh team. Wheezy in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max Kellerman, a brilliant mind, in my opinion.
Yes.
Just to touch on what you were just saying about Kyrie Irving, what does he do on the floor? Nothing. What doesn't he do, you said? He doesn't play defense. He doesn't create camaraderie. And in my opinion, he causes problems. He's Kyrie hurting.
Kyrie hurting
the locker room.
Chris in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, I'm going I want to go back to like a while back on the show, you said that Josh Allen was elite.
Yep, you got 30 seconds.
I'm the biggest Josh Allen fan as it gets. Mm-hmm. But I noticed you said Matt Ryan wasn't elite, and I want to know why. He's been to a Super Bowl, and you brought up the completion percentage and how Josh Allen's got better in the first 3 years. And I believe you look at Matt Ryan's in the first 3 years, it didn't get any better, but it stayed at like 60, high 50.
Look, Matt Ryan was always very, very good. I never thought he was a top three quarterback in the conference. I think Josh Allen is right now. He's a top three quarterback in his conference. And I would take his future over Matt Ryan's past. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Ravens better not lose four straight versus the Cowboys tonight. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.